in the regulations. Regulations are, by nature, they try to make it a slow process, but technology is catching up fairly quickly, and so they're having to scramble and make some adaptations, and a lot is happening right now, so I urge people to keep an eye on the website or call them directly. Back to you, WA2YBZ.
Along these lines, I've seen a number of YouTube videos where a person is flying a drone in a public park, and quite often the park rangers will advise the person not to do that. So I had the impression that in a public park, you're not allowed to fly one of these things without permission. So therefore, other than flying it directly above your own property, are you allowed to go to a unoccupied large field somewhere? Are you allowed to do it at an unoccupied beachfront? Where are the legal places that people are allowed to go, to your knowledge, Peg, other than over your own property? For the A2, YBZ, K2LIW, and the TechNet.
So just to recap, on the boundaries of your property, upwards to 500 feet, in specially designated areas by the FAA that have been arranged with particularly an agency, it might be Park Service, it might be local, state, county park, but that is not a general rule. In other words, you can't just go to any open space or beach whatsoever. You have to go to an area that's already been designated between the FAA and a specific agent, and you can contact them directly about what where those designated places are in the tri-state area. Let me drop. Hopefully I answered your question there. Back to you. WA2YBZ.
Yes, you have. We know a lot more now. And it does sound like it's becoming quite a bit more restrictive. A significant number of people have alarmed pilots, I know. And I believe each of the news reports, about once a day, will tell you how many pilots of a commercial airliner landing at the New York City airports have seen these aircraft, these unmanned aerial vehicles flying in their vicinity. In some cases, they think the distance is an uncomfortable distance to them. So I guess pilots these days have got at least two things to concern themselves with: laser pointers and unmanned aerial vehicles being flown by hobbyists. And there are people who are bending the rules. I wonder, has the FAA, to your knowledge, Peg, stated specific penalties? If you exceed these rules, have they said you're subject to such and such fine? To be to YBZ, K2RIW, and the TechNet?
Yes, Dick. They actually have, and they're actually ramping those up. And I don't want to get on some of the specifics because depending upon the severity of the incident, if an individual is harmed, if, you know, there's contact with an aircraft, or if it's a nuisance, in other words, somebody flying one of these past your window, you know, in a residential area, the penalties have been outlined. They are ramping up, and they do differ. Let me drop.
Dick, and we have a comment from KD2JGK.
KB1HQJ also.
Roger that. I'll stand by for comment. Go ahead. WA2YBZ.
Finish your statement, Peg, before I go over to these other two people.
Correct. So I think it was just to recap, penalties do exist, and the severity of those penalties, whether it's, you know, financial prison, it really just depends on the severity of that. And for anyone who would like to, you know, we have several contacts versus just calling, cold calling the FAA. People can get in touch with me by email if they would like to have some specific contacts at the FAA to discuss this. And I did just want to also mention that the licensure and the standards of those licensing standards, those are changing now. So they, you know, currently they have, they're looking at, you know, basically giving a wing number, like you have, like an N number for planes, for the drones. If you actually get a license, which you can do if you have a professional capacity. However, let me dock. Currently being discussed now is that they're going to possibly switch that licensure to go back to the operator. So there are things that are in flux right now, and because this is not my direct purview, this is just from discussions we've had at length with the FAA during the last year about mishaps and some concerns. I would recommend people either reach out to me or contact them directly, and I can put you in touch with, back to you guys. WA2YBZ.
I'm going to ask you a question. You don't have to answer it if you think it's inappropriate. Become involved with this. I'm kind of curious how and why. For instance, are you involved with law enforcement? Over to you, Peg, K2RIW.
Stand by on that question. Let's let some of the other folks jump in. Thanks.
Okay, Al, you're next. KD2, JDK, go right ahead with your comment. K2RIW, my name is Dick.
KD2JGK. Yeah, I can actually speak to this. Name is Mark. I can speak to this quite a bit. I'm an active aeromodeler. I fly my radio control aircraft every weekend. Part of what we're seeing is that there's two types of aeromodelers. There's the, and apologies if this has already been covered, I joined the net a little late. There are two types of aeromodelers. There's the hobbyist aeromodeler who understands what's involved and gets involved and does things correctly. And then there's the person who goes out and sees the latest flying camera platform at Best Buy and buys it and thinks it's okay to sail it down Broadway, and people, of course, get a scooter. Let's drop for a second. Most of us who fly radio-controlled aircraft, and I take offense, but not offense, I guess is not the correct word, I have a problem with the word drone, because drone indicates certain capabilities that most of these platforms just don't have. They indicate the ability to do autonomous, so some have that, but most do not. Unfortunately, the new has tied the word drone to any form of radio-controlled aircraft, and that's just not fair. For example, I fly at a model field. I have a membership with a club that provides me insurance. I have rules and regs that I have to follow. I have to go through some radio-controlled flight training, demonstrate that I'm safe to operate the aircraft. And even then, we operate only at that field. So if you're looking for a place to fly, a local radio-controlled airfield is a good option. I'll open up for comments real quick.
This is KB1HQJ. Could we let Peg answer the question?
Tim, what question was that? I think she answered all the questions she's able to answer. Back to you, Tim.
You asked her if she was involved in law enforcement, and she said, I'll stand by on that and let the other folks answer. Let the other folks ask the question. So I just wanted to, I don't care if she's in law enforcement or not, but I just wanted to know if she's refusing to answer the question or whatever. But I guess I got my answer.
Before we got onto that particular subject, you did have a comment, Tim. What is your comment or question? Go ahead, Tim.
The other commenter was absolutely right. There are different categories or classifications under the FAA. Now, I'm certainly no FAA expert, and I don't work for the FAA, as you know. I don't even own a drone, or and I would call them drones, some of them. I don't own one of those. I also don't own any type of flying aircraft, manned or unmanned, at this time. But I can tell you that right on the FAA, Federal Aviation Administration page, FAA.gov/UAS/model_aircraft, you can find the regulations right there for model aircraft operations, which I would consider the small, unmanned helicopters or splash drones is what they're calling them, but some people find offense to that, and that's understandable. The government uses drones to kill people, but that's neither here nor there. It says fly below 400 feet and remain clear of surrounding obstacles. And the very next thing it says, keep aircraft within visual line of sight at all times. Well clear of and do not interfere with aircraft operations. Don't fly within 5 miles of an airport unless you contact the airport and control the tower before flying. Don't fly near people or stadiums. Don't fly an aircraft that weighs more than 55 pounds. And don't be careless or reckless with your unmanned aircraft. You could be fined for endangering or other aircraft. Statutory parameters of a model aircraft operation are outlined in Section 336 of Public Law 112-95, the FAA Modernization and Reform Act of 2012. It's a PDF file. You can download it. They also talk more about it there. But I wanted to share that so people could read it for themselves. But I didn't see anything in there that says you have to keep it up in the column above your property.
Repeater, timeout. Repeater, timeout. Cancel.
Above your property. Most of what you described is absolutely correct. You do need to keep it at 400 feet. That's actually when operating in the vicinity of an airport, you have to span the 400 feet. Your line of sight was actually introduced. They actually recently introduced the line of sight rule. The reason for that is because a lot of pilots who were flying what's called first-person view, where they were putting a camera in the aircraft and then using video goggles to fly, and some people actually went really, really far with it, and that gets kind of dangerous. So that's where that's coming from.
Yeah, Tim did talk about small aircraft, unmanned aircraft, and the word small is now going to have a little bit of a problem. There are people with a Academy of Model Aeronautics license flying their radio control aircraft, and in some cases the radio control aircraft is literally called one-quarter scale or one-third scale. That means the aircraft is one-quarter or one-third the real size. Yes, I can believe they're under 55 pounds, but some of these aircraft that I've seen at the radio control chair, for instance, some of those aircraft are really high-power objects that are going to sit in close under safe conditions, but my goodness, these things have what looks like destructive capability. If you guys are here, if you're hearing something that you think should not be there, please go to the input frequency by going to the reverse mode and write down the signal strength that you hear. Be heard, and then please report that to Lamont.org. Lamont.org reporting in the reverse mode and what time you heard it. So once again, please report that to Lamont.org. And with any further questions or comments on all of the above, give me a call letters right now. K2LIW in the TechNet.
The same individuals about 2.5-3 miles from the infection.
You can hear me on the input, Dick, but you can't hear me on the output. Anyway.
I'm hearing you very well, Joe. Go ahead with what you want to say.
Okay, with the comedy that was said about the drone about flying at 400 feet, how does the drone know that it's flying above 400 feet or less? Does it have that kind of precision instrumentation on board to be able to tell that directly, like an altimeter that you set per day with the barometric pressure consideration, or do you use some other means to determine that? Back to you.
Yeah, that's a good question. This DJI Phantom 3 thing has GPS on board. The GPS tells it exactly what lat and long and altitude it's at. It has a so-called return to home mode. If it loses the input signal, it will go back to the place where it took off from. And you can even program it that what altitude it should fly back at before it gets directly over that location and then does a pure vertical descent. And that way it doesn't run into trees on the way back. As you can tell, they're reasonably sophisticated. So by way of that GPS, The pilot is getting a continuous display as to what latitude long he's at, what path he has taken, and what altitude he's at. And I don't think it yet will tell you wind speed and temperature, but I think there are ways you could add that function to it if you wanted to. And yes, they're also capable of first-person viewing, where you could wear a headset, and therefore you would see what the pilot on board would see, if you know what I mean. As you can tell, they've come quite a long way, Joe. First-person viewing by radio control model airplane enthusiasts has been going on for at least 5 years that I know about, probably even longer than that. W2RYY, K2RIW in the TechNet.
Yeah, with first-person viewing, if you're flying it like that, like you're sitting in the cockpit, so to speak, don't you run out of range pretty quickly? Because don't you have a problem where the power of the transmitter on board is only so much, it's only going to go so far, even though you're optically line of sight with the thing?
Yes, there is a definite limitation. But I think that limitation in many cases is not as short as you think. The distance from the slant range distance between the pilot and the aircraft, that where you can still easily view the aircraft and know what orientation it has, and the range at which you can get down with the video are pretty compatible. So I don't think the people doing first-person viewing, for the most part, have run out of range. Direct line of sight at the S-band frequency works extremely well, and there's another point I was going to make along these lines. I've forgotten now. But in some cases, the guy will actually gimbal the camera in the cockpit of the aircraft in such a way that as he shakes his head left and right and up and down, the guy wearing the headset on the ground, the camera in the cockpit of the aircraft, it does the same thing. So he really gets the feeling that he's on that aircraft. Over to you, Joe, K2RIW.
Okay, I know the uplink control frequencies, downlink for controllability is typically 2.4, and I think the video is like 5.8 or 5.5 or something like that. I didn't think 5.5 stuff goes that far because of the incredibly high frequency. Like if you start approaching areas where you got buildings in the way, trees on the foils, you probably lose the video very quickly, I would think. Maybe I'm wrong on that.
Yeah, they tend to not fly where the aircraft is going to be out of line of sight by being behind trees and buildings. In the place where the NEAT fair takes place, Northeast Aero Technology, I think is what it stands for, Tom Hunt runs the organization, actually is part of a C-Flight, Silent Electric Flyers of Long Island, a very enthusiastic club of guys that fly purely electrically powered aircraft, radio-controlled aircraft, and they hold a conference in Upper New York State. I think they've had their 11th or 12th conference where they get pilots, they get numbers like 300 pilots from something like 15 different states. They will gather for a week at this recreation area in Upper New York State in the Catskill Mountains where they fly these aircraft. And some of these are very skilled pilots. So some guys get pretty deep into that hobby. Over to you, Joe, for any of the comments, K2LAW.
Yeah, just one last one. Being that this has become very, very popular, are the stores starting to record, trying to record, are they trying to record accurate information of as to who is buying this thing? So in case this thing does cause an aircraft accident, they can pick up the pieces, identify this particular drone was made by this particular company, and that particular drone with that serial number of Forest Side was sold to this, person on the ground who's flying it. Or is it not that detailed yet?
Comment in one way, do I?
Go ahead, Hank.
Just bought a toy for my son, and nobody asked me about what my name was or registered any serial number or anything for the one I bought.
I guess that answers that.
The kind of questions you're asking right now are getting into the so-called privacy issue. And as you know, recently some rules were laid down where the three-letter agencies are no longer allowed to do massive recording of communications of a private citizen. And so therefore, their ability to track things like this is being limited. So the privacy issue. Who's the other person who just Go ahead, Mark.
KD2JGK. Yeah, just a couple of quick comments. First off, with regards to the STV and line of sight, yeah, they are somewhat limited, but that loop, as mentioned, is not what you think it might be. Some of these UHF systems, they're not operating on 2.4 gigahertz of the video. Some of them are actually using either 1.2 gigahertz or 5.8 gigahertz or something else with incredibly detailed directional antennas. Some of these antennas almost rival what a ham would do. It's incredible. I've seen it go up to 100 miles away. I mean, I personally haven't seen it, but I've seen videos. As far as the registration goes, I'm having to put your name in it. Not going to drop a second. Technically, if you're flying in an AMA-sanctioned field, you're under AMA guidance, you need to have the insurance, you're required to keep your AMA number, your name, and your phone number written, displayed somewhere either inside or on your aircraft. That way, if it ever goes down or crashes, God forbid, into someone's house, they know who you are. If anyone is curious about this, what it's like to be the responsible aero modeler, let me let it drop one second.
Mark, you should back off on your audio about 3 dB. You are extremely loud and a little bit distorted. Go ahead.
DB1HQJ. Thank you. Yeah, let it drop for 1 second. Is that better?
Better. You could even drop another dB or two.
Okay, hopefully that's a little better. Is that better?
You're getting in the right ballpark now. Go ahead there, Mark.
As I was going to say, if anybody is curious to understand what a responsible aero modeler is like, I fly model aircraft out of Staten Island, off of Richmond Ave, over by the Costco there. If anybody wants to come to the field on Saturday and learn what it's like to fly responsible radio control model aircraft, I invite anyone to come out. I'd be happy to meet you there. I'd be happy to show you what it's all about when done properly. It's a subject I feel very strongly about, so I'm very involved in it, but I'm also very, very concerned with safety and things. So if anyone wants to come out, the invite is over, just contact me, KD2JGK, be happy to help you out.
Give us the suffix to your call letters phonetically, Mark.
Apologies, that's Kilo Delta 2 Juliet Golf Kilo.
Yeah. With the distortion of the high modulation, it kept sounding like Juliet Delta Kilo, Juliet Golf Kilo. And by the way, you started talking louder and louder during that last transmission. Tim wants to say something. HQJ, go right ahead, Tim, KQLAW.
Thank you, Dick. I know there was some interference before, and I also timed it out, so I get the bagel award as well. Forgot to give me the bagel award. Not an actual bagel, but if you want to, next time I see you on a Friday, I'll be happy to accept a free bagel. Because I just printed out the Section 336 of Public Law 112-95 for you. I'll bring it to lunch when I see you again. It's called the FAA Modernization and Reform Act of 2012. And I think the page, without opening up that PDF, you can go to this website and just view the operation rules, I guess, from the FAA. The FAA has partnered with several industry associations, the Know Before You Fly campaign, and part of that. They've made it very, very comprehensive, very easy to understand. There's just rules you have to know. None of them say that you have to fly up over your own property only, at least not any of the FAA rules. They're also... And I'll call them drones because they fly autonomously on their own software. They fly out and come back, and they know when the battery's getting low. So that may answer a couple of questions for folks. How do they, how does it know? How does it not drop? Sometimes they do drop because batteries do lose power sometimes. But there are these helicopters that fly autonomously.
WA2YBZ comment?
Yeah, the one that I'm mentioning is... Phantom 3 does give you a continuous downlink indication of battery condition, so you know something about how much time you've got left. I think the battery on board and fully charged, brand new, is good for something like 23 minutes worth of flying. Meg, go right ahead. Peg, go ahead, Peg. YBZ, K2LAW.
Yes, I think I'm referring to John, and the earlier commenter the key point about both of what you're saying is 2012. Those regulations have since been updated several times, including earlier this year. I can get those referenced for you. I'm out in the field right now, but I can get those references for you. People can email me. There are much more current regulations applying to all of this. Just wanted to jump in with that. Back to you.
So if I understand correctly, Peg, from the FAA's point of view, this is a condition right now under a fairly rapid rate of change. And so it sounds like it's changing on a month-by-month basis. Is that roughly true, Peg? Go ahead.
Yeah, as to whether it's month-to-month, I'm not sure how to address that directly. But first off, there is a 2015 update to the regulations, and they're working on another one, which I believe is going to be pushed out this winter. But yes, rapid discussion, rapid scramble, I think, for the regulators to catch up with the industry and the technology and the hobbyists. And everybody wants to get out and use it. Back to you, WA2YBZ.
Yeah, Mark, let me go back to a statement you made earlier, which struck me as pretty striking. I think you said you're aware of a YouTube video of a first-person viewing remotely piloted vehicle or unmanned vehicle where the person was flying it 100 miles away. Is that what I heard you say, Hank? And go a little easy on the modulation, Hank. Mark, KD2JGK, K2LAW.
Yeah, hopefully this is a little bit better. It was either between 40 and 100 miles. I mean, up to 40 miles happens all the time. It's not common in the New York metro area because we just have a lot of stuff in our airspace. But out west, when there's not a lot out there, there's out there. I mean, there's one YouTube channel, I believe, called, what's the guy's name? I can't remember right now, but there's, just Google first person view long distance, UHF long distance, you'll find tons of videos.
Yeah, the microphone gain on the system you're using right now, Mark, is set very high. I'm hearing a lot of echo from the room. So even when you speak softly, the echo from the room is making it a little bit difficult to understand what you're saying. So when you get a chance, you do want to turn that microphone gain down by about 6 dB, in my opinion. 6 dB lower, and then you can get back to a normal speaking distance, and we'll hear less of the room and more of you. Anybody with any further questions or comments? We got onto the subject of remotely piloted vehicles. Anybody with any further questions or comments? Give me your call letters right now, K2LIW.
So we don't do it. Are you saying questions about this subject or something else?
On this subject, who is the other person who is giving me a comment on this subject? Who is that other person?
NY2H.
06DPZ, Oceanside.
1H2J. Dick, I would warn against people just saying that, well, that rule doesn't apply anymore. The rules are the rules. They put the rules in there for a reason. Some people like them, some don't. But to say that the rules are more strict than they are is to misrepresent the law. And anyone can go on the FAA website and see those rules and see that they're not as restrictive as Peg is saying for recreational usage.
Okay, we've got Lou and Hal in that order. NY2H, go right ahead, Lou.
Good evening. I heard that a point of failure on these devices is gimbal, where the wiring for the camera goes through. I just came across that factoid a few weeks ago, but repaired them to say that that's one of the issues. But that's all. Carry on. NY2H mobile.
Quick message for Lou.
Go ahead, John.
NY2H. KC2WGB. Lou, when you get a chance, could you wipe the chat room page, please?
No, do it now. Whenever you get around to it. Thank you.
Absolutely, John. I'm in the car now as I get home.
Thank you, Lou. No problem. KC2WGB. Back to you, Dick.
In the case of the Phantom 3, because it is flying an awful lot of its flight by way of Global Positioning Satellite System, and because it has a return to home capability when the battery goes low or when it loses signal. As such, losing the wiring to the gimbaling of the camera would not stop you from being able to fly back home, as I see it. You can always, it's got a follow me mode as well as a please go back to home right now mode. So the microprocessor on board is getting pretty smart, as I see it. Hal, K6DPZ, K2RAW, go right ahead.
RAW, K6DPZ. I just want to say one thing. It's my personal opinion, you know, being involved in aviation. I think these things are a real problem for one reason. It's an accident ready to happen. We have situations going on right now where there's a lot of sabotage and everything else, you know, foreign situations. And I envision some of these drones being flown near airports, flown in the intakes of jetliners, and we're going to have one big problem. I'm against the drones. I'll make it very well known. My comment, K6DPZ, I'm going to sign clear.
I think what you're saying, Hal, is that if you had the power, you would make private ownership of these essentially illegal, unless they're flying in a very well-approved area. Is that sort of what you're saying, Al?
I just ban them. With the situation going on in the world today, these things would be taken off near airports. They'd be bringing down jetliners like you wouldn't believe it in a matter of minutes.
Yep, I see what you're saying.
That's a good question.
Tim, no, was it HQJ? Yeah. Tim, you were on the list. You wanted to say something? KB1HQJ, K2RAW.
Thank you, Dick. Yeah, I printed something out for you. I'll bring it next time I see you. Hopefully, I'll be there at lunch on Friday. Hopefully, you'll be there. But I'll keep it with me, and when I see you, I'll give it to you. It is the regulations, and it doesn't say anything in there about the having to fly only over your property. You have to keep it within line of sight. I would caution folks against, you know, rules that regulate us that aren't there. They're not there. You can't make it up and say, well, it's there and it's not there. I would caution against following regulations that aren't there. And I would caution people against breaking regulations that are there. Obviously, flying near commercial airports is ridiculous. Deadly. But there are, you know, there are regulations, and they're up on that website that I gave you earlier, on the FAA website. All you have to do is put it in there for model aircraft or recreational use. That, you know, these are the latest. They are, and they're reasonable about having to keep it over your own property. I don't even own one of these things, but I just think that, you know, we not over-regulate ourselves or put misinformation out there. And I think you're doing a great job, Dick. Thanks very much. I'm enjoying this show.
And to APG. Go ahead, Dave. And I'm assuming that Tim was reading directly from the FAA site. On the assumption that the FAA is keeping their site current, you'd like to believe those are the current rules. Go ahead, Dave.
Good evening, Dick. And everyone gathered. Within the last week or so, I remember watching some television news or some program, I think it was the news, and they were interviewing somebody, I don't remember exactly, but the bottom line was that around airports, they're already instituting policies where, you know, the authorities have the ability to use whatever means that they have available to them to, you know, take these drones out of the sky if they're too close to airplanes.
Have you seen people flying unmanned aerial vehicles near your place of business, Dave? Go ahead.
Oh, you're referring to at the beach?
That's a big 10-4, good buddy. Yes, Dave, go ahead.
Well, I can only tell you there was one gentleman that brought his Phantom drone down to the beach about 2 years ago, and he was flying it. And when
when the authorities on the beach saw he was flying that, they, you know, advised him that that was not going to be permitted, bring it back down and pack it up.
Okay, from your point of view then, you believe that they are restricted from all of the public beaches on Long Island, is what you're implying, even during times when the beach is unoccupied? Over to you, Dave.
Oh, that I don't know. I can't tell you about all the public beaches on Long Island, but I would be very surprised if, any regulated beach or regulated park would allow something like that, because there's a tremendous amount of liability involved. You know, what happens if a patron at the beach or the park, you know, gets hurt or injured by something like that, and now, you know, the park is going to be partially liable for allowing, you know, that activity to happen. So I don't think there's too many municipalities that's going to allow that.
Yeah, this particular genie is out of the bottle right now. The total number of unmanned aerial vehicle ownership by hobbyists in the United States is a huge number, gaining very fast, and as such, regulating it is going to go through some rough spots. I see it coming. Anybody have further comments on that? I mean, there's an awful lot of people who are buying them for this particular holiday season. K2LIW listening.
WGB.
Go ahead, John.
Well, Dick, I'll tell you, if it comes over my property and it's hovering around here, I'll take it down. I won't allow it.
Okay, you seem to be saying, John, that from your point of view, it's an extremely strong invasion of personal privacy of your property. Now, if it was over your property, you would be offended. If it was five properties away at a high enough altitude where it could easily see into your property, would you still be that offended? Over to you, John.
No, absolutely not. If it was not above my property, vertically, wouldn't bother me at all. I don't care if it was a next door neighbor's property. It's not going to be over mine. That goes for Amazon's drones, too.
Okay, so your personal feeling on this one, and I think I see where you're going, is that that vertical column of land, that vertical column of air directly above your property is not to be violated by anything, is what I think you're saying. You're probably not alone in that one, John. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of yahoos like me, Dick. You know, I don't mind aircraft that's flying above, you know, commercial aircraft, stuff like that doesn't bother me. But if something was buzzing around up there, absolutely not going to go. I will not tolerate it. I don't care whose drone it is. So, just to point of view from this wacko, KC2WGB, back to you, Dick.
That's CJGK comment.
I think I was hearing Hank. Hank, go right ahead.
He already expressed his view that it's not an airplane, because I was going to ask him if he's going to shoot at me the next time I flew over his house.
Yeah, he sort of made that clear. Mark, go right ahead.
Yeah, hopefully this modulation's a little better. Apologies if this is not great. I'm still learning this new microphone and learning everything here. There really isn't officially a height limit to your property, actually. I mean, the Supreme Court hasn't said anything, but some people believe it's between 80 and 500 feet. But I can understand where the gentleman is coming from. I wouldn't want a flying camera platform over my house either. But that just reiterates what I was saying earlier. You have two classes of modelers. You have people who fly aircraft in a designated field and are responsible, and then there's the, you know, the putz who goes out and buys a flying camera platform, B&H, and thinks it's okay to sail it over his neighbor's yard.
I'd like to believe that the guys with the AMA license, Academy of Model Aeronautics, are following those rules. I think the AMA license includes something like $2 million worth of personal liability insurance for a single event. Is that roughly true, or am I remembering that incorrectly? Mark, go ahead.
It does include insurance. I don't remember the exact amounts, but the thing to note about the AMA insurance, and the Academy of Model Aeronautics is what we're referring to. incidents over the last 75 years or so.
And a quick comment, Dick.
If you guys are hearing things that you think shouldn't be there, please go to the reverse mode on your rig and write down the signal strength of what you hear, and please report it to LIMARC.org. www.LIMARC.org, and write how strong was the signal that you heard and at what time you heard it. Over to you, John, KC2WGB, K2IW. I know we're getting pretty close to the end here.
Yeah, real quick, I hope you can hear me. K2UPS just sent me a message here on the Echolink. National parks, that is like gateway parks and all that, they're illegal. Not allowed to fly them there. So I just dropped that in for everybody.
Okay, so the people who own drones.
Thank you.
time is 12:20 a.m. The time is 12:20 a.m. Ready.
Thank you. Robert Pollard. The doctor now comes to put stone, not at all broad, not as scolding, and a silent interior. Very nice. And a brand new picture, the private cellar of the Golden Gate Bridge. That's a great story, and the 2015 cellar power of 2.0. I can still end.
Good morning. The time is 5 a.m. Net tonight at 8:30. Welcome to the W2VL repeater. W2VL amateur radio repeater system.